I trust that everyone's there. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say amen. All right. Verse 113 says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Verse 115, depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Verse 116, uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Verse 117, hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. Verse 118, you spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. Verse 119, all the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. And verse 120, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Well, that's the word of the Lord. These eight verses all begin with a word that starts with the Hebrew letter Samech. Samech is the 15th letter of the Hebrew Aleph Beit. The ancient symbol for Samech is a thorn. And the modern Samech resembles our English S sound. Three words we find in the Bible very early on that begin with Samech is Sevav. It means around or surround. We find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 11, where it says, Genesis 2:11 says, the name of the first is the Pishon, speaking of the four rivers in the Garden of Eden. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. In the Old King James Version, it uses the word compasseth, our modern English word for compasseth is encompass. So surround, around, or encompass would be sevav. Another Samech word is cigar. Not cigar that you smoke, but cigar, which Spurgeon smokes cigars occasionally. Just a bit of trivia for you. Cigar means shut or close. We first encounter this in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, where it says, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and while he slept, took one of the ribs and closed up its place with flesh. Closed up was the word cigar there. And also, young people were at... it uses the word rib. It's actually a word that means curved piece. So it may not be a rib. Just like a lot of times we think of apple as the fruit in the garden, but it just says fruit. It doesn't say apple. We don't know what kind of fruit it was, and the tree doesn't exist today. So keep that in mind. And then the third word that we have here for today is psalm. Not as in the psalms that we're in, but samech mem sofit. It means sweet smelling or fragrant. We encounter this in Exodus 25, verse 6. Oil for the lamp, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. In the King James Version, it says sweet incense, and the word there is psalm. Samech is masculine in gender, and its ancient pictograph means grab, hate, protect, or uphold. And as the 15th letter, it says nun there, it should say samech. Samech has the numerical value of 60. And among some rabbis, the Jewish tradition presents samech as a letter which represents protection, since the modern samech is enclosed. The Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem and presented this surrounding protective picture as a mother hen when he says in Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? And you were not willing. And so for those of you, which I know some of you have raised chickens, where when you see a mother hen doing that, she brings her wings all the way around to protect the brood of chicks. When we know our true protection from Christ is the substitutionary atoning death he suffered on Calvary's cross, for the curse of mankind's sin was upon his head as he wore a crown of thorns, the result of Adam's disobedience to God's commands. As it is written, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, in Genesis 3, verse 18. And again, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," in Matthew 27:29. Now for our verses to look at these psalmic words. Psalmic. Psalmic, in verse 113, it says, "I hate the double-minded, but I love your law." The first word there is sa'afim. Sa'afim means a divided mind. It's translated in the King James Version as vain thoughts, which is what it is. It literally means divided, or divided in thought. And so vain thoughts is a good translation. Divided mind is a great translation. Love for God's law produces faith in us, according to Romans 10 and verse 17. This is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. And faith works firm patience from us, as James 1 verse 8, verses 5 through 8 say. But James 1 verse 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Psalm 119, verse 114, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." And the letter we haven't come across yet, it'll come towards the third to the last letter, is Resh. Resh is, you roll your R's a little bit with Resh, but the word here is Sitri. Sitri, it means my hiding place or my protection. Christ Jesus is our protective hiding place and our shield of faith, who empowers us with hope in him by the truth of his word. As John 5:39 tells us, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me." Yes, I like this particular verse. My hiding place, Sitri. It says Sitri, u magani ata. You are my hiding place, and shield. You know, magan or magan means shield, like Mogan David. The wine that the Jews have, it means shield of David, mug and David. And Atah means you, so the Atah is put last because he is actually the subject. Psalm 119, verse 115 says, "Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God." And this is a compound. It's a compound of two words. The first is suru, and the second word is mimini. Suru mimini means turn back from me. Because Christ is our hiding place and shield, he has empowered us to say no to the enemies of the cross. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you." Or he will flee from you. Verse 116 says, "Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope." Verse 116 begins with Samchini. Samchini means uphold me. And and as a prayer, this would be just a paraphrase of this verse, my own paraphrase, I suppose. "Lord Jesus, make me faithful in what you have already taught me from your word." Make me faithful, uphold me in faith. Philippians chapter 3, verse 16 encourages us to do our part, where it says, "Only let us hold true to what we have attained." Uphold me. And I bring this up Well, for one, the ladies are studying Philippians in their Bible study. But also, you'll notice in the very next verse, it says, hold me up. Those are two Samic words. Those are two different words, and they have two different meanings. The one is, as we grow in grace and are strengthened in faith, we come to a place in faith, all of us do, in a different time in our walk, and we should hold fast to that which we have learned. That's what verse 116 is. 117 let me read verse 117. It says, hold me up that I may be safe and have regard for your statutes continually. Sa'adni is the Hebrew word there. And it means hold me up. And in holding me up as opposed to uphold me, since we have a tendency to fall and fail because of the corruptions of our flesh, that's what that word means. It's when I fall, strengthen me. Strengthen me back and bring me back to the place that I once was. That's what hold me up is. Lord Jesus, and so the prayer there is, Lord Jesus, strengthen me because of the weakness of my flesh that oft causes me to disrespect or disregard your statutes. And we have a great promise from the Lord in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 118 says, you spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. In in verse 118, the Hebrew Samic word there, as salita, it means you tread down or you spurn. I think it's trodden in the Old King James Version. Thou hast trodden down. The self-deceived are neither upheld, as in verse 116, or held up, as in verse 117, but trodden under the nail-pierced feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's light that illuminates truth to us is blinding to the dark souls. And Jesus said to Nicodemus recorded in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness more than they love light, because their deeds were evil. Psalm 119, verse 119, all the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. And dross ends up becoming the first word of it because it's the Samic word, sagim. Sagim is a plural because saga is the root for dross, but it's plural. And it means dross, or drosses more literally, all the dross. Dross, refuse, or scum. It is a collective thing. And from this, I just wanted to provide you with what Mr. Spurgeon says concerning this verse. Quote, if even a good man feels forced to put away the evildoers from him, much more must the thrice holy God put away the wicked. And there he's referencing verse 115. Then he goes on to say, if he allowed men to sin with impunity, he would not be so fully the object of our loving admiration. He is glorious in holiness because he thus rids his kingdom of rebels and his temple of them that defile it. And that's taken from the Treasury of David, volume 6. And I couldn't improve upon Mr. Spurgeon's words concerning that particular verse. And verse 120, the last verse of our Psalmic section here, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. The Hebrew word that it begins with is samar, which means trembles. The truth of God's holiness must make us tremble with godly fear, and it is a wise soul who fears God's judgments. It's an unwise soul who discards them, ignores them, or disrespects them. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. So my challenge for you young people today is Psalm 119, verse 114 in the English Standard Version. It says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Memorize verse 114 in your favorite Bible version. Consider the blessing of Christ as our holy shield and hiding place, as well as the protection he offers. And in that protection, he provides for us to the power to maintain the faith we have attained by God's grace, according to verse 116, and strengthens us when we are weak, or lifts us up after we have fallen, as we see in verse 117. So he upholds us and he holds us up. That's part and parcel of his protection. Samech is one of the has very few words, biblical words in it. There's modern words that begin with Samech, but it's a lesser used letter in the Hebrew alphabet, as far as the beginning of words go, than some of the other words. But as you can see from Psalm 119, verses 113 to 120, Samech is very powerful in this section. One of my favorite sections of Psalm 119, which I love them all so far, and I will love all the others as well. Any questions or comments on Psalm 119 in this section, or any section for that matter? Nothing? Oh, sister... double-minded, it's the opposite of that would be single-mindedness, being focused and with your attention upon one thing. A double-minded person would be somebody who doesn't have a singular allegiance. It's somebody whose trust may be here on one day, but there on another day. John Bunyan had a name for this fella very early on in the Pilgrim's Progress. He was called Pliable. He kind of went along with whatever seemed to be appropriate for the moment. If somebody had this opinion, he'd run after this one. But if somebody had this opposite opinion, he'll change and shift and do that. And double-mindedness is that. It's somebody who is faithful to Christ today, but not faithful to Christ tomorrow. There's also a double-heartedness is in Psalm, I think it's in Psalm 34, that speaks of the same thing, but with a heart, having two hearts, not a heart that's completely given over to Christ or completely given over to God. It is a heart that's fickle. That's what double-mindedness is. It's not faithful. It's unfaithful. It wavers. And another example of that would be in the Pilgrim's Progress, the second part. They had fellows, people that were ready to halt. He was somebody who was on crutches, and what it was is that he became timid. When Peter would be example from the New Testament account, when he called the Lord and said, "Call me out if that's you," and he saw the Lord walking out on the water. And when he walked upon the water, he was able, and when his eyes were on Jesus, he was able to walk. But as soon as the waves came around and he noticed the waves, how dangerous they were, even with his eyes upon the Lord, he started to sink because he feared. His heart was not trusting in Christ. It started to fear the waters that were around him. It never says that he took his eyes off the Lord. It says that he became afraid because of the waves that were around here. It doesn't say that he took his eyes off the Lord. Sometimes it's preached that way. It's preached that way quite often, but the text never says that he took his eyes off the Lord. Sometimes we're looking on the Lord, but here's an example of that. How many times have you read Scripture in the morning? You get up in the morning, you're excited to read Scripture, and you read it, and you fall asleep reading it. Or, yeah, I have. Or when you're reading it, and even it's passages that I've read before, and then I'm reading it, and I've immediately forgotten what I've read. James talks about that. A man who looks at himself in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like. That's double-mindedness. It's distraction, etc. You can't serve two masters. Absolutely right. The Lord Jesus preached on that in the Sermon on the Mount. You can't serve two masters. Either that you will love the one and hate the other. It causes you to be torn with a dual allegiance. We have those are tremendous. Thank you, sister. That was a tremendous example there as well. So, and great question. Thank you. Does that help clear it up a little bit, sister? All right.